Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, SJS, here on this Friday afternoon. It's great to have you with us. Kevin and I welcome you to call us at 1-800-795-9565 in the Hilscher's General Store hotline, powered by our good friends at Hilscher's General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. You can always go to www.hilscherstore.com. That's how I preview what's in there. Take a look at the bakery, the deli, the menu, and obviously the items that they have for clothing. I mean, boots, coats, which we needed in Illinois last night. Also, I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. You go to them, they'll take really good care of you. And as always, on a Friday, with the weekend coming up and the Daytona 500 coming up this weekend, the Great American Race in its 55th year, we advise you to go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, beverages, snacks, pickle bars, so much more, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're going to get Tony Knopp on a little bit later. We're going to have Tony on yesterday, but we got into a discussion about why the Big Ten is looking to expand, why they're going from 12 to 14, possibly the give everyone what the numbers, I mean, pure numbers, so that you understand what they mean. Because if you are a lover of women's volleyball, you are a lover of men's soccer, you are a lover of women's basketball, for example, if you love baseball, okay, those sports are great sports to watch. You love gymnastics, so you go to a gym meet, okay, but it happens because you need revenue. And also Title IX, which has been tremendous, and it's done so much for women's sports and our appreciation of the great athletic talent that is out there in women's sports. But it doesn't happen without cash, and you need to make things happen financially. Football and men's basketball drive the economic engine in every single university in this country in its athletic department. Every one of them, football and men's basketball, drive the economic engine. You're saying, oh, well, Penn State, they've had a bad year. What kind of money are they making? The television contracts make such a huge difference. Men's basketball at Penn State, based on last year's numbers that were reported, based on the June 30th, 2012 report, just so you know, from the U.S. Department of Education, made a profit of $4.6 million. Okay? Now, I say with all due respect, women's basketball lost $2.9, almost $3 million last year. Okay? Now, is that putting down one or the other? No, I'm just explaining the hard, cold numbers as to why TV contracts mean something. Now, football, according to this report, generated a profit of $30 million. Ohio State generated a profit last year of $36 million. Michigan generated a profit in football of $35 million. Ohio State men's basketball generated a profit of $9 million. But then you look at the schools, for example, North Carolina, Virginia, that are being allegedly looked at as possibilities for Big Ten expansion. North Carolina's athletic department made a profit of only $600,000 last year. You're like, oh, that's good. But then you look at Ohio State's profit. Ohio State made $22 million in profit last year based on the numbers from the U.S. Department of Education. See, that's the difference right there. They're right on the edge of the line. As people have mentioned Duke. You know what Duke's profit was last year for his athletic department? $300,000. Okay? Virginia, I think the profit line for them was, I think they're very close to losing money. Okay, so Virginia was slightly above. So you're saying as athletic departments, right, we properly have romanticized rivalries. Okay, properly, because rivalries are great for sports. Duke, North Carolina, Missouri, Kansas, Penn State, Pitt, Texas A&M, Texas. Okay? But there's also a reality that presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors have to deal with. How do I pay for my sports at my school to make sure I'm giving everybody the proper opportunity? How do you do it? It's the television money. You know, and the difference, you heard North Carolina, you heard Duke. I gave you Maryland's as well yesterday. What swings it and makes the difference? TV money makes the difference. Who's generating the TV money? Well, because of the expertise and skill and foresight of Jim Delaney, right? Obviously, he's been criticized in many different areas, including how the BCS has been done. But you know what? I've got a theory about that. I think he was smart about the landscape and let the BCS play out to get to a playoff. I think patience is sometimes one of the more important virtues you can have when the world wants to jump the gun. His patience, I think, in the end paid off in a playoff in 2018. But his business act, looking at markets and seeing the Big Ten is the single biggest game changer in college sports since the inception of ESPN. Without question, since the inception of ESPN, the biggest game changer in college sports has been the Big Ten Network. And when they're talking about expansion, you notice that the last time the Big Ten expanded, where they expanded to a school within an existing Big Ten footprint state, was 1953 with Michigan State. Since then, they expanded to Pennsylvania, Penn State. They expanded to Nebraska with Nebraska. They expanded to New Jersey with Rutgers. They expanded to Maryland with Maryland. Okay? They're expanding the footprint and the number of households that they can get into, quote, as he says, the footprint. Because if you're a non-footprint state, it's 13 cents a subscriber for BTN. If you are a subscriber state, where the school within your state, it's triple. It's 39 cents. That's a difference maker, a game changer. And the number of households that you're in makes a big difference. It's looking at that big picture that breaks up rivalries. That's why Penn State Pitt don't play. And when it goes back all the way, look, I think if there was an Eastern Conference in place, none of this would be happening. But decisions that were made, which Pitt continues to pay a heavy price for because they were short-sighted in 1981 and didn't see the big picture. So today, after jumping a bit, they're now going to go to the ACC, which is now on the verge of who knows what's going to happen. The Big Ten, meanwhile, continues, it seems, financially to get stronger. So those are the numbers. We'll talk more about that and Tony Knopp. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Tony Knopf, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, will be joining us at 3:35. We're going to talk about Dr. Jerry Buss and also about the Super Bowl being in MetLife Stadium next year. Shikellamy plays Milton tonight, and we've got that for you as well.
I'm looking forward to that.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that Shikellamy-Mifflinburg matchup tonight at Milton because they've actually played very, very well against Mifflinburg. But the problem is Shikellamy has shot the lights out during both Mifflinburg games. So if it's a game where the ball's not going through the hoop very often and you know, the shooting just isn't there, it could be a tight one today in this play-in game for the District 4 playoffs.
All right, so that's coming up tonight at 7 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Buhner in the house.
Thank you, Steve. I was over at the Sunbury Motor Company, Quick Lane, getting the old car serviced. I thought I'd drive by because I wanted to hear Kevin talk about Danica Patrick and what's coming up at Daytona. he apparently has plastered.
Well, good. Here's a good idea. Why don't I talk sports, and then you two can you can pull him aside, and then off the air.
Well, he was telling me, and I didn't know this, that Dan Patrick and Danica are identical twins.
I did not say that.
Well, it was a good thought.
I don't know if she's related to Pat 6'3". Patrick.
One's about 6'3", 6'4", and the other one's about 5 feet tall. So.
Well, they must have been separated at birth or something. But
yes, very much so, yeah. But, you know, he's talked a lot about her this week.
Yes, he has.
And then he talked about two meaningless races yesterday or whatever it was.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
They weren't meaningless to those who qualified for the race and the rest of them sitting home. They were pretty meaningful at that point.
Steve, another big event is Sunday.
And hold on.
Go, sorry,
Bob,
go ahead.
Hold on one second.
I know.
Hold on. He's not done busting on me yet.
Exactly.
Hold on.
No. Who got in yesterday?
Let's see.
Exactly what row do they start in?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them. They filled out the entire field from three back.
From three back. Yeah. Okay.
Now, the big question is, if you're a NASCAR fan, is Harvick's car
did Jimmy Johnson not make it?
No, I think Jimmy Johnson's in. I think you're okay there.
Harvick?
Harvick looks unstoppable right now.
Busch?
Yes.
Unstoppable?
Busch actually won one of them.
You do know it's 500 miles, right?
Listen, that guy has run very, very well. He won the, as you call it, the exhibition
miles,
race.
Right?
And he also won the first duel yesterday.
I thought it wasn't important to win the first duel.
No, I said it wasn't important for Danica to win the first duel.
Oh, I see.
See, have to listen to what I say every now and then.
Oh, that takes so much work.
I know.
That's a big effort thing.
The concentration, the focus.
Waning, Bob.
I know.
It's good to hear you, Bob.
Great.
It's good to hear you.
I listened to you last night calling the game out in Illinois. What time did you guys get back? Holy cow. Very late.
A little bit after 2.
Oh, boy.
A little bit after 2. They put the plane in the hangar last night. You know, the tail, the hangar's only so big, so the tail was sticking out. So they had to de-ice that first. Now, the security people were great. We got there, and I'm talking, they blew us through security so fast. Like, bang, 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 we were on the plane. But then we sat in the plane for an hour and a half.
I was wondering, because of all the Midwest storms that are obviously heading this way, I was wondering how that affected your transportation home last night. Obviously, it did.
Yeah, no, and it did, which is fine. We got back, though, because the thought walking into the arena, because it was snowing very hard last night, was that we weren't going. And we had to also switch hotels if we were going to stay.
And
the hotel we were in was sold out.
And it looked like the crowd, at least from what I could tell on the Big Ten Network, was a little depressed. Was that because of the weather?
Yeah, it was because of the weather. They had 14,000 there last night. They're going to put $160 million into that building, which is going to be 50 years old next week. And they're going to put $160 million in. They're going to put luxury suites in, loge boxes in, change the seats in there. You see on TV the court's really well done. And you see some of the bunting that they put up to cover. It's a great – the color scheme of the arena is gray.
You really wouldn't pick that up on TV.
Who sat back in 1962 and went, hey, this is the gray.
Well, who in 1962 thought about color television?
That's true. That's true. Because without color television, we would not be able to see a bright green car out there running 15th.
Exactly. Or where Jeff Gordon in the rainbow car was.
Yeah.
That's right.
Kevin?
I'm just going to wait till race day, and I'm going to be enjoying the race.
Are you gonna wear your shirt and hat?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Matter of fact, I even think the hat I have is retro. It goes back to when she was driving the 7.
I think that Kevin, somebody needs to take a picture of that and post it on stevejones.com and on Facebook.
No. you're gonna put that in OTM.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh darn, we're out of time. Sorry, Steve.
You're going to post that on OTM. You are not posting it on SJS. I can tell you that right now. There is a semblance of pride on this show.
No, there isn't.
I mean, really. Like, what's that? A guy wearing a Danica Patrick hat and t-shirt? Really?
Oh, boy.
Oh, mercy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Brewers Outlet sponsors us, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Humble's Wharf. And Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 to 15. Like a preview? Easy. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Beauters in the house. Kevin's in the house.
I think Buter went out to Brewer's Outlet.
I don't blame him at all.
Stocking up for the 500.
That's great. It's going to be the Great American Race Sunday, the 55th annual running of the Great American Race. You say Harvick can't be beat, yet you're going to be wearing your Danica hat and t-shirt.
I did not say that.
And what, Harvick can't be beat?
I did not say that Harvick can't be beat. I said Harvick looks unstoppable because of the way he's been running in the last two races at Daytona. But, again, you get in the middle of the pack and everything changes.
It's 500 miles.
I'm aware.
The long way. You're not running a lap. Okay. Tony Knopp is the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. They control 10 million tickets, including tickets, by the way, to your beloved Daytona 500. You know that?
Yeah, but I didn't see you get me any.
I needed you here.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know, and plus the restraining order the Patricks have out on you. It's a lethal combination.
No, that was funny. I give you credit. That was funny.
Tony, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
I appreciate you having me.
Hell, let's talk with someone who passed away this week, Jerry Buss. Dr. Buss, we know about the creation of Showtime. From the business side of it, how solid a businessman was this? And you deal with tickets all the time. And what did he mean for sales in terms of how he ran his operation?
You know, Jerry Buss passing is very big news, you know, out here in our neck of the woods. But I think what's going to happen with Dr. Buss is a much better appreciation of who he actually was and what he did now that he's passed. It's very simple to say, you know, he was the owner of the L.A. Lakers and he brought Showtime to the Lakers. But I think now we're going to actually start to see, in retrospect, you know, what kind of gambles he took when he took them. You know, what's lost on a lot of people is he paid a pretty penny for the Lakers and the Kings and brought them to the Forum.
$67.5 million was a lot of money in 1979.
It was significant. It was people would have blown their hair back if you translate that to what it would have cost now when you're looking at what the other teams were costing at that time.
I mean, Tony, in 1979, people were saying he overpaid.
Oh, big time. And he then continued that investment strategy through running the team. I mean, over and over again, people said he would overpay for talent and he would try to get the people in. But what he did was he built a brand that's global that then became synonymous with winning, which is the most difficult thing to do, both on the business side and on the court. And, you know, we've all seen teams that, you know, rise to prominence for a short period as they have a superstar pass through town. But he had multiple legacies, so to speak, multiple teams that came through in the 80s, again in the 90s and the early 2000s, and then in the late 2000s. And I think what people are going to start to realize is how much effect he had on the team and how much effect he had on the league when he was doing those things. Jerry Buss, unlike a lot of the other owners, was a full-time owner. Right? This is what he did. And, you know, we've all heard that famous story about how he approached that at the negotiating table with the other owners. I think we're going to start to see, you know, the legend of Jerry Buss really start to grow now that we're going to start to see what happens when he's gone.
Is it interesting in terms of contrast that within the same building there are the Clippers and Donald Sterling?
You could say that. And, you know, the interesting – it brings up two interesting points. One, it's interesting to see the difference between the Sterling ownership and the Bus ownership within the same market. They didn't share a building prior. The Clippers actually played in the LA Sports Arena, which, for those that aren't familiar with the market, is significantly closer to downtown Los Angeles and where most people were working at the time.
It's right next to the it's literally next to the Coliseum.
Next to the Coliseum, right? Yep. Where the Fabulous Forum is down in Inglewood and kind of out of the way. I mean, in the Hollywood Park area there, that you had to travel to get to the Fabulous Forum. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the way they ran and operated their two teams, you know, Bus was just more willing to take those calculated risks. And yes, you know, the Clippers have become a good team right now. A few things have fallen in their favor, but can they continue that for 30 years of winning? Right? And that's where we start to see the difference, right? The 49ers were a dynasty in the 80s and the 90s, but that fell off. You know, the Patriots have been a dynasty recently. The Lakers have been a dynasty with different dynasties within them for decades now. And that goes all the way to the top of the organization.
Yeah, without question it does. And he also had the ability to look at his people and say, you're the expert on publicity. I trust you. You're the expert on personnel. I trust you. You're the expert on coaching. I trust you. What does that mean?
You know, there's two different very common leadership prefaces out there that people follow, and that's either you have the savant that is involved in everything, you know, the Steve Jobs and what happens when he leaves to Apple Computer. But then you also have the belief that an organization can be what drives success, right? That when the proper organization is built and built from the top, that once that figurehead is gone, one way or another, that organization will continue to succeed moving forward. And that's what Jerry Buss built with the Lakers. He surrounded himself with people like Jerry West, like Mitch Kupchak. But more importantly, he stuck with them when times were tough. Right now we're starting to see the stories about how Kobe Bryant demanded out of town in 2007, and Dr. Buss called him in and just had a quick conversation about what it's like to be a Laker for life and what it's like to weather the storm and stick with a, you know, a business that has shown that they win. And, you know, it paid off for Kobe Bryant. He played in three more finals after that and won two of them. And it's been very fascinating because he's created a brand in a very different way than the rest of the organizations have done across sports. You know, the famous story with Dr. Buss is when they started talking about revenue sharing, Dr. Buss responded to another team owner across the table that when you're willing to start sharing revenue from your other businesses, then we can talk about revenue sharing because I'm a full-time owner, right? Or maybe we can have a conversation about full-time owners sharing revenue and those that have other businesses don't, because I'm not as concerned about you losing your hat on this team when you have multiple other businesses that you're focused on. Now, he eventually agreed to the revenue sharing, but that's the kind of foresight that he brought to the table. Listen, we all need to understand how important these brands are, and he protected that Laker brand like nothing else, which is why we see it as it is. Why they can recruit a Dwight Howard and a Kobe Bryant, regardless of how the team's playing this year. They get superstars in the building for that reason.
As someone who is involved in moving tickets, how significant is a brand name, and does it make your job easier?
It makes my job significantly easier for Laker tickets. They're in tremendous demand, and the reality is this is a Laker town. You know, what is lost is that this used to be a Dodger town all the way through, and all the way to the point where the Dodgers used to have over 30,000 season ticket holders prior to the work stoppage in 1994. That is not the case anymore. People here love the Dodgers. There are baseball fans here, but this is a Laker town. When the Lakers are in the playoffs and the Lakers are in the finals, the bars are full, the restaurants are full. It is what people are talking about on every station at all times. And that all comes from Dr. Buss and his organization. So when it comes to the Lakers, they make it easier for an entire empire to be built around them. Right, when the Kings are down, when the Clippers are down, when they're opening a new building downtown in Staples Center, that eventually becomes an entire entertainment district with hotels and movie theaters and everything else. It really is that Laker brand that brought them through it. AEG is fantastic in what they do, but they did know that Laker brand is something that is going to hold and is something that is going to keep a premium on what they're offering. So it really is the staple to the Los Angeles sports market.
Now, with the Dodgers, new ownership, Frank McCourt's out, Magic Johnson and his group, and Magic says Dr. Buss taught him more business than anybody's, like a second father to him.
I can believe that.
Do the Dodgers have an opportunity with the right business model, not to surpass the Lakers, but to really regain a toehold in Los Angeles?
They should. You know, there's two things that are parallels here that will be very fascinating to watch. One, you know, the Dodgers used to be run by the O'Malley family, which was a family that was held in as high regard as Dr. Buss and his family are.
And now they have the Padres. And,
yes, and what happened, you know, with them was nobody could have seen them selling the team for a number of years, and then they eventually did. They sold the team to Fox, and things did not go well, who then turned the team around and sold it to Frank McCourt, who then sold it from there. So, you know, some of the conversations we've been having in the past few days has been, is it applicable, and does it make sense to start talking about the Laker fans' worries about what happens to the team now that Dr. Buss is gone? And absolutely it is, because Los Angeles has seen this before, right? I don't think that's what will happen with the Lakers. They do have a fairly clear understanding of who's doing what there. But this does give an opportunity to the Dodgers in the sense that the Lakers are down. They are not winning. They are not the best team in their building right now. The LA Kings are coming off a Stanley Cup championship. And the reality is, as much as people like myself who grew up San Francisco Giants fans don't want to admit it, the LA Dodgers should be the Yankees of the West Coast.
Yeah.
They should be the beacon team. They should sell more merchandise than anybody but the Yankees. They should have more global presence than anybody but the Yankees. And they should be winning World Series championships. And they certainly should be outselling the Red Sox and the Cubs and teams like that who have been outselling them recently. So they do have the opportunity to do that. There's a couple of things that are in their way. Do I think they can make this a Dodger town in the short term? No, I don't. I think it's going to take a little bit, but I do think there's an opportunity.
By the way, you mentioned the Red Sox in that answer. The Red Sox predict that their sellout streak will end in April.
And you and I both know that sellout streak ended yet last year.
It ended last year. I was in the ballpark May 5th last year. I had to go up. I grew up in New England, Tony. I had to go up. I was speaking at the Penn State Club of Greater Boston last year, and it turned out there was an afternoon game with the Orioles, so I was able to get tickets, which from a friend of mine who's a season ticket holder, and I had to go because it was the 100th year of Fenway Park, but there were empty seats, and my son was telling me that the Red Sox have been actually doling out tickets to charities and nonprofits and so forth to keep the sellout streak alive.
Yeah, it's been a common belief that they've been papering the building for a little while here to keep that streak alive, to, you know, surpass the Cleveland Indians and the Jacobs Field streak that they had. It's been fairly commonly believed that that's the case.
All right. So now I want to get to the next part of this. The Super Bowl, of course, next year, and in fact, Penn State opens at MetLife Stadium August 31st. The weather August 31st has a chance to be far greater than it will be in the first week of February when the Super Bowl is played there. This isn't Jacksonville, but what's brought to the table that in your world, you gave us a great feel before the Super Bowl about, hey, look, there's a reason why tickets aren't moving like they used to in the Super Bowl. What about this one?
I think New York's going to be very different than any Super Bowl we've ever seen. And I think you're going to see it in the economics around the game. We've already seen it with the NFL experience not being a part of the Super Bowl for the first time since I can remember, right? I've been going for a decade now. It's not going to be a part of the experience. It's going to be something that takes place in Midtown or downtown, I believe. Now, what is interesting about New York, so you say Jacksonville, the weather Jacksonville clearly has over New York. Now, what New York has that the other cities don't have is the actual ability to host an event of this magnitude without feeling it, right? Without really selling out of all of their hotels, without selling out of all of their restaurants, and without making it so difficult to get around. I mean, New York is, you know, the biggest city in America and has the ability to take in that much tourist traffic without really feeling it. They do it every year with the U.S. Open. I mean, that's nowhere near the scale of the Super Bowl. But I do think that on the hotel market, we're going to see hotels that are more affordable. It's going to be easier for the regular fan to go and not have to stay in Baton Rouge like they did last year, or stay in, you know, Tucson, or, well, Tucson's a little out there, but to stay in, you know, South Phoenix or Tempe instead of staying out near the stadium in Glendale. And I think that's going to be an interesting, it's going to have an interesting impact on what we see with the game, right? I do also believe that the ticket price will continue to come down, regardless of who the teams are in the game, not because there isn't more money in New York. I know everybody makes that argument, because that market just gets more efficient every single year. There are more ways to get tickets. There's more ways to get tickets that you can trust. And I think this Super Bowl would be extremely fascinating. Now, the weather's effect on the tourists we'll see. It was very negative in Dallas because Dallas isn't built for that, right? They're not built for significant winter storms like they had. New York is. New York has the public transportation available for it. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it has an effect. On the corporate business, well, I mean, I do believe it has the ability to be a good Super Bowl, but it will not be as expensive because of its location.
And the perception would be it'd be the opposite. Because New York, in terms of spending money, you'll spend more money in a day there on an average day than you would, say, in Dallas.
Sure. Food, drink, all that stuff's going to be expensive. The thing that gets the most expensive about the Super Bowl is transportation and lodging. Right? Those are the two things where the average fan really starts ponying up. You know, if you're an average fan and you want to go pay between $1,000 and $1,500 for a ticket, which is a lot, but, you know, it's a one-time thing for you and your family, that's fine. But then you're going to shell out another $2,500 for a hotel if you want to stay within a half an hour of the game. And that's where you're paying $400 or $500 a night to stay at a, you know, at a Hampton Inn or at a Residence Inn or some kind of business commuters hotel that wouldn't be considered luxury. Now, there's an abundance of those in New York. So where you're going to lose on the cost of, you know, food and amenities when you're there as far as, you know, those things, for the hotel rooms and the lodging, I think the price is going to be more affordable, and there's going to be more available.
Tony, as always, absolutely fascinating. I at least on my end, I enjoy these talks, so I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, very much appreciate it. You know, love coming on.
Tony Knopp, Spotlight Ticket Management. He's the CEO out of Los Angeles. We'll come back. Buhner, her in the house as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city.
I just want you to wake up. All right, let's. Buhner's in the house.
I'm just back from the pickle bar at Brewer's Outlet. I brought Kevin some gherkins to keep his voice ready for tonight's Shikellamie Mifflinburg game over at Milton.
That'll do.
I can tell you right now, gherkins are not going to help him. Okay, that's not exactly the formula.
Oh darn!
Works for
me. Not exactly the formula. So Bob, we're getting ready for the Great American Race on Sunday.
It'll be huge
at the date. Now, whether the weather plays a role in this and delays it or not, we'll see. Which would then spill it into prime time, which is not what Fox wants, but. Yeah, I think they'd rather have their primetime lineup on instead of the race.
What, are they worried about dumping Animation Domination?
Well, the ratings for Animation Domination are better than the Daytona 500. If the Daytona 500 were as popular ratings-wise, they would put it there. It's February.
This is a critical
sweeps month. They would prefer to have the race take place in the afternoon.
Well, they,
okay.
Yep.
I mean, Kevin doesn't like when I talk bluntly.
Well, okay. Obviously,
it wrecks fantasy land.
You know, they obviously put a huge amount of marketing research into putting things in the proper spots for the proper reasons, and it's all about ratings. Obviously, that's where Fox makes its money, and that's where Fox is able to pay NASCAR for the rights to these things. So.
Right, and you know, I mean, and you know, it's like the races later in the year that are in the evening that they'll put on do very, very well, but it's in the non-ratings time, February. If this race were a week later, they probably would put it on prime time.
Well, I'm going to miss the opening part of that.
I mean, right? Why are the NBA finals, for example, not in May? Why are they in June? They don't want them on during sweeps.
Yeah, those ratings don't go through the roof, do they?
See, the forecast is high of 76, variably cloudy, a shower or thunderstorm.
Right, thunderstorm's what they're worried about. That's what they're concerned about. So, next hour, I'm going to run down some numbers for you when it comes to conference expansion and why North Carolina can look at Duke and say, you know, it's been quite a ride. Today's show brought to you by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, home of incredible gherkins.